looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Mishar's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Frazier looking to end it, the 1-2. And on the infield, that'll be caught by Xander Bogaerts to end the ball game. Red Sox win again, 7 straight. And they shut out the Texas Rangers.
7 straight, 7 in a row. Woo-hoo-hoo! Here we go, Marshall!
Yeah.
7 game winning streak, baby. 63-29. The Red Sox running away with it this year in the American League. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. Do you sense a little sarcasm, Marshall?
No. Come on now. I don't know what you're talking about.
So, look, again, I said this earlier. Marshall Hook is in tonight for Jim Murray. Felger is out this week, so Murray co-hosted on the Felger and Mass Show this afternoon. So Marshall is here to give us headlines during the Baseball Reporters. 617-779-0985 is your number. And I don't know whether I should read into the fact that the Red Sox have not lost since I left or not. But I did. I went on vacation a week ago. Just got back. They haven't lost. They've won 7 in a row. Now, look. They've played dog food. They've played dog food since I've been gone, but the reality is that just about every night brings dog food in the American League this year. So give the Red Sox credit. Again, they have won 7 straight, many of them against the Kansas City Royals, the absolutely wretched Kansas City Royals, and certainly they began last night with a victory over the Texas Rangers in what will be a series this week at Fenway Park. So I want to start here. Because for all the grief I give the Red Sox, they do have the best record in the league. Okay, so good for them. But I had this discussion with a caller during the Felger and Mazz show, and my opinion of them is not going to change unless or until they win a big series against a good team in the regular season, or more specifically, until they win in October. So it's nice that they're beating up on the bad teams and doing the things they're supposed to do. For the most part, the Red Sox teams in 2016 and 2017 did the same thing. They did the things they were supposed to do. And then they got into the postseason and lost. So, if you feel that this Red Sox team is truly different and that the makeup of this Red Sox team is truly different, then I would like you to explain to me why. I know the roster is different. I know that J.D. Martinez feels like the real thing and he has made a significant change. But beyond him, I don't feel like the Red Sox are all that different. And maybe they are. I'm not telling you that just because I feel it, it's true. I'm telling you that I still have my doubts about them. And I don't get excited by wins over Kansas City or Texas, both of whom are last place teams in the American League. So, are the Red Sox doing what they're supposed to do, taking care of business? Sure. Yes. No question about it. But at the same time, I have a hard time getting overly geeked up about what this means in the longer term and in the bigger picture when they have absolutely cleaned up on some of the dregs in Major League Baseball and in the American League this year. And sadly, and it's not the Red Sox's fault, the American League is largely made up of dregs. So 617-779-0985. Beyond that, I want to get to the American League All-Star balloting, the final vote as it is. And that's not to overlook J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts, who are certainly deserving of recognition for the All-Star game, and frankly, are guys that I would pay to see. I stop what I'm doing now when J.D. Martinez gets in the batter's box, and Mookie Betts is one of the more dynamic players in the game. So if you were talking about the All-Star game, those are guys I want to see. Okay, those are guys I want to see. My opinion on Andrew Benintendi is a little bit different, but I'll get to that in just a minute. Again, 617-779-0985. And later in the program, We will do trivia. It's a Trivia Tuesday.
I'm so excited. Well, I've never been here in person for one of these.
Okay, so there you go. And we will potentially give away a gift card and the chance to win a trip to see Boston play New York in September. We'll do that later in the show. We'll kick off the calls tonight with Phelps, who's in Brighton. Phelps, what do you got?
Hey, Maz, I think everyone's problem with you is what it always is your tone with the Red Sox. You keep talking about the 1990s Yankees in comparison, and Jim did it earlier, too. I don't think that there's anyone that is comparing these teams. It's just some straw man that you've created so you can be angry about something.
So, look, I've never said the Red Sox. I've never likened them to the 1990s Yankees. I never did anything of the like.
No one is liking them. They're defending, saying that they are not, when there is no one that is saying that they are.
Okay, so
Jim said they're not the 90s Yankees, and it's like, well, no kidding. Nobody's saying that, so why are you getting so upset and, like, creating the straw man to argue against when nobody is saying that?
So, Phelps, take the 1990s Yankees out of it. Let me ask you, 63-29 translates into 111 wins. Do you believe this Red Sox team is a, quote-unquote, 111-win team?
No, but nobody does. But you're talking to people like they're idiots for thinking that when nobody, in fact, does think that.
Okay, so, well, I don't know if nobody is right.
No, and that's the thing. There are people who believe that. There are people who like to do the, you know, scoreboard thing. Look at the stats. I mean, they've won the games. How can you say they've not won the games? And I think that's a very simplistic way to look at it. That if this team actually won 111 games, that yes, they are a 111 win team this year, but compare them to equitable teams in the past that have, you know, won that many games, that they don't stack up. And that's the point that I think you're making. That's the point that I would make. That's certainly the point that Big Jim would make. But there are a lot of fans out there who would tell you that if they won X number of games, that they are the same as a team that won X number of games in some past year. And they're just not, because the competition is so much worse this season.
So, Marshall, if this team had some sort of pedigree, if they had some sort of past that I could look at in October and say, man, these guys are good. They are. They're good. They are dynamite. They win when they're supposed to win, and they win when they're not supposed to win. The tougher the competition, the better they play. Whatever the situation, they win. If they had some sort of past for me to latch onto, I would. But they don't. And so, unfortunately, in their case, they are having a great regular season. I still don't know if they're a great team, if that makes sense. And I don't know any other way to say it.
And this is the thing.
They are, Marshall, having a great regular season.
There is no question about it. And they are winning. They won last year during the regular season. They won the season before during the regular season. The one thing that gives you hope is they're doing it differently this year. Like, the offense and the power wasn't there the two previous years. It most definitively is there this year with Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez, and then to a lesser extent, Benintendi and Moreland and, you know, Xander Bogaerts, who seems to be having a resurgent season. They're doing it differently, but I'm not ready to believe that they'll do it in October, because they still have those same pitchers who failed them last year lined up to pitch for them this year.
And so
until they prove it in the postseason, where they have gotten one win in the last two seasons, you'll excuse me for not buying into the team.
Marshall, I'll tell you what. I'd feel better about it if they went into Yankee Stadium and won 2 out of 3.
It's true. They're not even doing it during the regular season in the series that matter.
Okay, so I look at the iron in the American League, and it's really a small group. It's Houston and New York for the most part. And I want to see the Red Sox go into those places and win a series. And they have not done that. In fact, if you want to throw Seattle on the list, they haven't done that either. In 4 series at Seattle, Houston, and I'm reluctant to even include Seattle in it. But for the sake of argument, let's do it. In 4 series at Seattle, Houston, and New York, the Red Sox have not won any of them. They have not won any of those series against any of those teams. So I'm supposed to sit here all of a sudden and say everything's fixed, everything's great? Look, they are having a great regular season. I still don't know if they're a great team. And I said this before the year. I will continue to say it. The Red Sox have been good for the last couple of years. They've been really good. They've won 2 straight divisions. They may win a third. I know they're good. What I need to find out is if they're great or if they can be great. I'm getting some individual answers. J.D. Martinez, he's a great hitter. He really is. And Mookie Betts is really achieving greatness this year. We'll get to more on Mookie later in the show. But the team overall, are they a great team? I don't know. I still don't know. Marshall, do me a favor.
Yes.
Just quickly, look up the 1946 Red Sox and just tell me what their one-loss record was while I take a call. Roger's in a car. Go ahead, Roger.
Johnny, you're driving me crazy. I mean, first of all, are they not supposed to beat up on the dregs of the American League?
No, they are.
Okay. Are they not supposed to play 500 ball or better against the better teams in the league?
Well, I would like them to play better against the best teams in the league.
Well, who wouldn't? But, I mean, they're playing 500 against all the other teams. Okay, so they haven't won in New York, but when New York's come here, we've kicked their butt. So, I mean, they're playing 500 against New York. They're playing 500 against the Astros. They're playing 500 against all the other better teams in the league. They're kicking butt on the teams that they're supposed to be kicking butt on. And to try to compare this team to 1946 or 1967, I mean, the game has completely changed. I don't understand. What is the comparison going back that far? Why can't you just look at them and say the last 5 years? And, yeah, this is the best team I think they've had in the last 5 years. Are they a great team? On paper right now, they're going up to be 111 wins. And until they don't do it, you have to believe that they're going to do it.
Okay,
I agree with you that they may not be a great playoff team because they still have to make some moves and the starting pitching still has to prove some things. But up until that point, I think we should enjoy the ride and stop jumping all over the bandwagon and saying, well, they're playing lousy teams. You know, they got to do better against the road teams, blah, blah, blah. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing home, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing against the worst teams in the league.
Okay, so, Roger, I'm not telling you not to enjoy it. You can enjoy it all you want. I'm just telling you that while you rattle off the teams in the American League, the Yankees have beaten those teams. The Yankees went 5-2 against Houston. The Yankees went 4-2 against the Red Sox at home. They lost 2 out of 3 here, but overall, their record against the Red Sox is a winning record. The Yankees against playoff teams this year are 20-8. I saw another number against teams with winning records or the best teams in the league, 27-11. The Yankees have excelled against good competition. Okay, the Red Sox haven't. So I'm sorry if the facts are what they are. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you that they haven't done anything yet to push me to the other side. So I look at New York and say they got to the LCS last year and they look hungrier this year. The Red Sox ultimately feel the same to me. I hope I'm wrong. I do. And when I mention 46, it's not to compare them to the 46 team.
104 wins.
104 and what?
50.
104 and 50. What was that team's winning percentage? Do you have that right in front of you, Marshall?
I don't, because I'd have to do math.
Okay, but in any case,
they won more than 66% of their games.
Okay, so it's really around 670, which is what this team is doing. And the reason I mention it is because that team didn't win anything. They had a great regular season, and then they lost the World Series. Now, it was a different playoff structure then, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line is, the only possible comparison to me there is that, great, they had a great regular season. At the end of the day, what's that going to mean? That the Red Sox won more regular season games than ever before, but they get bounced in the first round of the playoffs? So I'd feel better about them if they had beaten some better competition during the year.
And I feel like
hold on, Marshall. A lot of it is not their fault, because the league blows, and that's not their fault. But I also can't give them credit for the record when the opponents are what they are. Go ahead, Marshall.
I think that, you know, and maybe this is a problem that you and I have, and we're just not able to enjoy it. Red Sox fans seem like they're going to be okay if this team wins a bunch of regular season games and then loses in the first round. I would expect that after 2 years of doing that, that you would want more. That's all.
I mean, in a lot of ways, I'd feel better if they had a slightly worse record, but they had beaten New York and Houston head-to-head. I'd feel better about them. I'd say, okay, well, they fell asleep against a bad team. I'm not worried about that. That can happen. So, great, they don't fall asleep. And I will give them credit for that, by the way. They have remained focused all year long. I'll give them credit for that. It's a hard thing to do in baseball. They've generally done that. They had one little glitch there in the middle. But they have stayed focused. They haven't taken their eye off the ball. I still don't know if they fully have hit their ceiling against good teams. That's what I worry about. We'll get to the All-Star game and the final vote, because there is a story there. We'll do that next.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mookie Betts is lined to left. He's also popped up to first. 0 for 2 tonight, leaving him at 339. Launches that one into right center. That's deep, heading toward the triangle. That's onto the running track, and that'll skip up for a double.
That's one thing we've seen from Mookie Betts we hadn't seen in previous years. He's had some pop to the opposite field. Hit this ball, changeup out over the plate. He goes out there and gets it. I mean, he got the barrel to this thing, stayed on it, and drove it really to the farthest part of the ballpark. This ball gets out of some ballparks in deep right center field, but gets a triple if it stays in the ballpark.
Mookie Betts is at it again. And I think this is worth bringing up. That was the fifth inning last night, I believe. Betts hit a ball, first pitch, deep right center field. It bounced in the triangle and then kicked into the, basically just to the right of the 420-foot mark where that triangle forms, basically the, the back end of the Red Sox bullpen there. He ended up with a ground rule double. The ball travels 405 feet. And you heard Dennis Eckersley say there, boy, we're seeing something from Mookie this year that we've never really seen before, which is his ability to drive the ball to the right side of second base. So Eckersley said the opposite field. You know, that suggests right field, but to me it's really about anything on the other side of second base. Right center field's a big one. And Betts is doing that now. And I am bringing this up because I have harped on this, that to me, Mookie Betts is a less dangerous hitter than a lot of people want to suggest because he does not really have opposite field power. Betts cannot hit the bullpens with regularity from the right side of the plate, which means that you can pitch him in a way that mitigates him. Okay, and I think you'll see that in the playoffs. However, this year, he's getting to the point where he's starting to change my mind. So it's one thing to wrap a home run to right field around the foul pole. It's another one to hit the bullpens, which Betts has done. Another one to drive the ball in the triangle, which Betts has done. And he's hit the ball out of the ballpark to the opposite field on the road, places like Baltimore, Philadelphia, smaller ballparks. But it feels to me now like Mookie is stronger than he's ever been. Now, why that is, I have no idea, and honestly, I don't care. If Mookie can do this with regularity, if Mookie can continue to drive the ball to the opposite field and hurt teams by doing it, then I'll change my mind. I'll change my opinion. There is no way to pitch him and get him out and minimize damage. Last night, I think the pitch was off speed. It was a changeup that he hit into right center field. If Mookie Betts starts doing that with some sort of regularity again, then I'll change my opinion. I am not quite there yet. But that one last night is another one that opened my eyes. Now, look, it didn't get out of the ballpark, but, you know, let's face it. It was pretty darn close, and that's a deep part of any ballpark in any major league stadium. So Mookie right now leads the American League in slugging percentage. Isn't that unbelievable? He's slugging almost 700. Which to me is incredible. So, you want to, and I want to get to Andrew Benintendi in the All Star game. We may have to do that next segment. But you want to talk about Mookie Betts? I tell you what, you want to have a fun discussion with your friends, and please don't call on the air tonight about it. But Mookie Betts or JD Martinez, who's your MVP of the American League right now? Because it's one of those two. And I'm not sure who I would pick, and I don't think there's a wrong answer. So, anyway, something to chew on. Alex is in Newton. Alex, what do you got?
Hey, Matt. Good to talk to you again. It's convenient that I'm calling and you just gave Mookie Betts praise when I assume you remember me saying.
Oh, I remember it very well. Yes, go ahead.
Great. Matt, how much do you value baseball intellect?
I value it tremendously.
Tremendously. So I remember when I called at the beginning of the season, I did bring up J.D. Martinez versus Giancarlo Stanton, and Felger decided to pull the room, and all of you said, Giancarlo Stanton, you will take over J.D. Martinez. Now, if there's one thing that I hope you can agree upon, besides the fact that J.D. is having a better season than Giancarlo all across the board, I hope the one other thing you can agree is J.D. Martinez's baseball intellect is miles ahead of Giancarlo Stanton. Miles ahead. So
in the batter's box, it is.
in the bat, that's all that matters in the batter's box, Maz. Manny Ramirez was a little bit of a dodo bird, but in the batter's box, he was one of the smartest hitters in this sport, period.
True.
So that's all that matters. So I just want to re-poll you. Where are you on that one?
So long term, I haven't changed my mind yet.
Because of his age?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, it's a big factor, yeah.
Ooh, it's a minuscule factor, Maz. It's a couple years, and you were literally taking a much more complete hitter in J.D. Martinez versus Giancarlo Stanton. When Giancarlo Stanton...
Okay, so Alex, I'm going to stop you just because I want to get to other people. Okay, but it's age and contract. You could have had Giancarlo Stanton for 10 years, and that might be a negative. But if he ends up giving the Yankees, let's just say, 7 good ones, and you get 2 out of Martinez before he leaves, who would you rather have? So, look, I'm not giving you a long... I'm not changing my long-term opinion yet. I'd still rather have Stanton. But this year, and in the short term, J.D. Martinez is a superior hitter. He is. I don't even think it's close, and I think I am acquiescing to you by saying that, or I think I'm making your point by saying that. J.D. Martinez is an exceptional hitter. He is. Fabulous. Complete hitter, better hitter than Giancarlo Stanton. That doesn't mean that the Red Sox have solved their power problem for years to come. Okay, Stanton would have solved it. Rick is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, Tony, how are you? Hey,
good.
Love the show. Love your passion. I'm totally with you on the Sox. I mean, this baseball league nowadays, we've got with teams that are 20 games below 500, 15 games below 500, 30 games below 500. Like you said, it's a great regular season, and I appreciate that. But when you look at what Price has done in postseason, Chris Sale wearing out, there is no guarantee. And I love your passion. I love what you're doing.
Well, Rick, I appreciate it. And again, I'm not telling you that I think this team sucks, because they don't. They're obviously a good team. They're having a tremendous regular season. They really are. And they're on pace for 111 wins, and that's hard to do no matter what. It's hard to stay that focused for that length of time. It is. It's hard to do. But I also think that you have 3 teams that are effectively in the neighborhood of, call it, 110 wins, give or take. The Yankees are a little bit lower. The Red Sox are a little higher. Houston's a tick lower. How does that happen without bad competition? There have to be a lot of doormats out there for 3 teams to be in that neck of the woods. And that's what those clubs are. I'm glad Alex and Newton brought up Giancarlo Stanton, because I want to get back to him and Andrew Benintendi and that final spot in the American League All-Star team. After Marshall gets you caught up on headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Just about a half hour from now, the Red Sox will host the Rangers for the second of a 3-game set. Hector Velasquez versus Giovanni Gallardo is the pitching matchup. The lineup for the Sox: Betts, Benintendi, Martinez, Moreland, Bogarts, Holt, Devers, Swihart, and Jackie Bradley Jr. Again, first pitch time set for 7:10. The Sox have won again 7 in a row and come into this game with a 2.5-game lead over the Yankees. On over to the Celtics, where Marcus Smart remains a restricted free agent with nothing more confirmed than the qualifying offer he got from Boston. A'Sherrod Blakely reporting, though, that the Sacramento Kings putting together an offer sheet for him. Both Jason Jones and Jordan Schultz, writers of the NBA, say the Kings are not doing that. Adam Himmelsbach says that Smart has met with 4 teams, 2 of them yesterday and 2 of them today, and he's seeking less than $15 million per season. The Oklahoma City Thunder have granted Carmelo Anthony permission to meet with prospective teams in the case of a trade situation for him. France beat Belgium today 1-0 in World Cup action. That means they are into the final, waiting for the winner of the Croatia-England game that'll be played tomorrow. And if soccer's your thing, then certainly you know that Cristiano Ronaldo has left Real Madrid to sign with Juventus. That's how we pronounce it, Tony. Juventus. Both clubs announced as much today. And the NFL Players Association filed a grievance challenging the legitimacy of the NFL's new national anthem policy that requires players to either stand or stay in the locker room. The update being brought to you by South Shore Bank Student Checking. Make adulting fun with no monthly fee or minimum balance for ages 16 to 24. Details at southshorebank.com/student. I'm Marshall Hook of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports. Have your next update in about 30 minutes.
This is the Baseball Reporters,
which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox,
with Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
One of the things we've tried to do this year with this program is incorporate a written element. Yeah, I used to write for the Herald and the Globe for a period of time. It's still in my blood a little bit. What do you want me to tell you? So the on 98.5thesportshub.com, every Tuesday and Friday, I write in a blog called the Behind the Seams blog, which, if you want to win the trivia contest on Tuesdays, you should read, because sometimes they steal questions from that blog. But that aside, what I wrote today concerns the quote-unquote final vote in the American League All-Star Game. And now, Marshall, you get the concept, right? You know how the final vote works.
Yep.
Starting in 2002, Major League Baseball would take five players who were quote-unquote bubble candidates or on the, you know, on the bubble to make the All-Star team that didn't get in. Those players would then go to a public vote conducted entirely on the internet, and whoever got the most votes on the internet would then be the player added to the All-Star game. The first couple of years they did this, 2002 and 2003, the Red Sox won. Johnny Damon, Jason Varitek. They won again in 2007. So of the first six elections in the American League, the Red Sox won three of them. They haven't won since. Andrew Benintendi is up for the honor today, along with a cast of characters, including Andrelton Simmons of the Angels, Gene Segura of the Mariners, I forget who the other guy is, and then Giancarlo Stanton of the Yankees. And to me, it's really either Stanton or Benintendi. And maybe this makes me a complete, total dink, but if it were me, I'd vote for Stanton. And here's why. And I know this gets Red Sox fans' panties in a bunch, but in the All-Star game, in all honesty, who do you want to see in an All-Star game? I mean, to me, that game is a spectacle. It's a showcase. I want to see the guy who can hit it 500 feet. That's the guy I want to see in an All-Star game. You want to frame the question differently? You can frame it in such a way that Benintendi's the right guy to pick. Me, in an All-Star game, I would take Giancarlo Stanton over Andrew Benintendi. Just my two cents. Of course, years ago, it wouldn't have mattered because Red Sox fans would have flooded the internet so much that Benintendi would win in a landslide. Now, I don't know. I think today, in fact, did I read that Gene Segura was actually leading the voters?
Yes.
Okay, he plays with the Mariners. Like, to me, that's asinine. But people in Seattle are geeked up because the team is overachieved, and so maybe that's what has them, you know, sucked in and has triggered the passion there, and that's what is getting Segura all these votes. To me, the guy I would go with is Stanton, and honestly, I think it's a no-brainer. I'd go with the guy who can hit it 500 feet. I find that player to be wildly entertaining. Okay, and that doesn't mean I like Adam Dunn or liked Adam Dunn when he played. I didn't. Stanton's a different kind of cat. Stanton's a little more like Reggie Jackson to me than he is like Adam Dunn, if you can follow that line of thinking. Let's go to Bob in Methuen. I'm sorry, Marshall. Bob's in Methuen. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Tony. I'm in the same camp as you are regarding the Red Sox. I think it's wise to take a cautious approach and have some concerns. And my concern basically lies with that starting rotation and what they are going to do in the playoffs, especially if Chris Sale gets worn down. Who are they going to turn to?
Well, Bob, look, the Sale thing is worrisome, but if that happens, you aren't going to win anyway, right? So, you know, to me, the bigger question is, for them to have a chance, a lot of them have to perform at a high level, not just Sale. Sale's an easy one and an obvious one, but I think it goes beyond him. I don't think one starter is enough. And, Marshall, forgive me, I cut you off. You were about to jump in on the Stanton-Benintendi discussion.
Well, yeah, because we've discussed it today, and people seem to get really worked up. And what I don't think that they understand, because you and I agree on this, is we're talking about two different things. It's not a judgment on which is a better all-around player. It's not a judgment on which guy you'd rather have on your team long-term. For you and me, it's a judgment on which guy we'd rather see have a single at-bat in an all-star exhibition game. And that is a fundamentally different question than those other things. Like when people talk about Benintendi versus Stanton long-term. And again, that's a separate discussion on which you and I may or may not agree. But for a single at-bat, I don't understand how anyone could argue that they would rather see Benintendi, who's a pretty good all-around player, defensively, offensively, does things that Stanton doesn't do, or certainly Segura. I mean, in a single at-bat, in an exhibition game, I want to see the guy who can hit the ball at two country miles. I want to see the guy who's going to knock it off some facade where people never think a ball is going to get to. And Stanton is clearly far and away the guy who can do that. Not those other two.
Marshall, I would rather see Giancarlo Stanton take batting practice in the All-Star game than see Andrew Benintendi play in it. That's what I'm telling you. And see, Red Sox fans take this as some sort of slight on Benintendi. I would say that about anyone like him in Major League Baseball. I will take Stanton in an All-Star game. Stanton's a rock star. That's what the All-Star game is. It's about seeing the absolute stars hit it a mile.
And by the way, if he gets this vote, does that mean he's eligible for the Home Run Derby? And wouldn't you rather see that?
Yeah, I'm not sure he wants to do it because a lot of those guys don't want to do it. I know Aaron Judge said he doesn't want to do it, right?
Yep.
Quickly, Brian's in a car. Brian, go.
Hey, Maz. So Mookie touched on this today. None of the big home run hitters want to participate in a Home Run Derby anymore. What do you think about a skills competition? Maybe like get the hardest throwers, see who throws the fastest fastball. Throw them from the outfield, trying to hit targets at home plate. Since we're going sabermetrics, the hardest hit ball, things like that.
So, Brian, I'll tell you what, I don't rule out any of that stuff. I think you're going to get some resistance from people in baseball. For example, if you wanted to say who throws it the hardest, you run the risk of a guy throwing his arm out, right? So the accuracy thing from the outfield, I don't mind that. I'd be okay with that. Put some targets up, put a guy, 225 feet away from the plate, see what kind of throw he can make and whether he can hit a target, something like that.
I don't think I need to see the exit velocity contest.
Though. Okay, so I'll tell you what.
I don't think I need to see that.
I'll tell you what. I don't rule that one out either.
Okay.
I mean, I know who's going to win. It's sort of like the hardest slap shot in the NHL, but you want to say a skills competition? Look, anything that to shake it up a little, I'm open to listening to.
I will watch the pitcher's home run derby. That's something that people have talked about.
So that
I would watch that.
Again, I think some of them should participate in it.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Madison Bumgarner in the home run contest, Marshall. I'd love to see it. But, again, baseball has an old way of thinking, and I just think as time goes on, they will awaken to the reality they need to change things. Trivia Tuesday coming up next. Here's what you do, okay? First five callers to 617-931-0985. You'll have a chance to play them when we come back. I'll tell you what you can win.
The show the Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Trivia Tuesday on the Baseball Reporter. This is where your baseball knowledge can lead to fabulous prizes. And now, here's your host, Tony Mazzarotti.
All right, here we go. Here's the deal. We take a max of five callers, max, or until we get a winner. So if someone wins on the first call, that's it. We're done. Okay? That's it. We're done. You have to answer three questions in a row. Get them all right. You don't answer them. You just have to get them right. I mean, you know what I mean.
Just, if you say, yeah, I know the answer to that.
Exactly.
All right, you got it right.
Yeah, the way I phrased that was like, you just give an answer. No, yeah. You actually have to give the correct answer.
Okay,
you have to give the correct answer. You will win.
That makes it harder.
A $100 gift card to Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill, and you'll be entered for a drawing to win to see Boston play in New York in September. Two tickets to the game. Round trip train tickets, again, for two and a night's hotel stay. Okay, so it's a pretty good get. And we try to, make the questions harder as we go along so that, you got to have some level of difficulty to qualify. We start tonight with John, who's in Marlboro. John, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, here you go. This former Red Sox player and eventual Hall of Famer once said that he escaped a situation where he was held at knife point by, quote, willing himself invisible, end quote. Who is he?
Dennis Eckersley.
Dennis Eckersley, incorrect. Nice try. That wasn't even close. Dennis Eckersley.
Well, I mean, it was vaguely close, time-wise.
Well, I suppose that's true, Marshall. And by the way, the contest line, 617-931-0985. Again, we'll take the first five callers. Chris is in Providence. Chris, are you there?
I'm here, Tony.
Okay. Following the 2004 championship season, former Red Sox outfielder Johnny Damon wrote his memoir with author Peter Golenbach. What was the name of the book? You should know this.
Forget it.
You don't know it?
No.
All right, we got to let him go, too. There you go, Billy. Give us the full buzzer. There you go. Do you guys know that, or do you not know it? Don't answer it out loud.
You're not allowed to say it.
I'm just asking if you know it, Marshall. Was that question too hard?
No, I don't think that was hard.
Okay, good. Shelly is in Sharon. She's our third contestant, or it might be a he. Shelly, you there?
Hi, I'm here. How are you?
Okay, I'm good. Okay, here's one for you. They're not all Red Sox questions. On July 24th, 1983, the New York Yankees and Kansas City Royals played a game that would forever be known for a late-inning incident, excuse me, in which a home run by a member of the Royals was temporarily negated because of a foreign substance on the player's bat. What was the substance?
Pine tar with George Brett.
Pine tar is correct. Very good. That is the right answer. Nice job. All right. Your second question. Mookie Betts led the Red Sox with 24 home runs last season. Who finished second behind him?
Wow. How long do I have? Okay, let me give you second.
You can't look it up on the web.
No, I'm not looking it up.
Oh, and I'm supposed to believe you.
I'm going to say.
We got to let him go.
No! Oh, that's it?
Did he actually offer an answer there? Billy's tough on the clock back there.
Man.
I didn't hear it.
Because once a guy starts fiddling around or fidgeting, you know what he's doing. He's Googling it on his phone.
Oh, Marshall.
So we can't, we can't allow that type of stupidity. They're just not allowed. Let's go to Tyler, who's in Hardwick. Tyler, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Hi, Tyler.
Before Miguel Cabrera of the Detroit Tigers won the Triple Crown in 2012, this Red Sox outfielder was the last American League player to accomplish the feat. Who was he, and in what year? Oh, my God.
Yastrzemski?
Yep, and what season?
79.
I was going to go with Mike Greenwell, so I was happy to
Is that unfair to include two things in one question?
It's the first round. It's supposed to be a little bit easier.
I know we have a bunch of people here. Just quickly, so I can get an idea as to the difficulty of the question. If you can answer that, put your hand up. Okay, and then the guy didn't deserve to win.
Right, fine.
It's the way it goes. Chuck in South Boston. Chuck, is this really you?
Yeah, it is, Tony. How you doing?
Oh, I'm great.
Bring on the good questions. I had a few hot toddies, so I'm ready to rip.
Okay, here you go. In Dan Shaughnessy's famous book, Curse of the Bambino, who is the Bambino?
Babe Ruth,
very good. There you go, Chuck. Not a trick question, my friend. Not a trick question. We're trying to help you out here a little bit.
You're the best, Tony.
Okay.
I love you.
Next question. Next question. During the offseason between 2003 and 2004, the Red Sox made a highly publicized pursuit of Alex Rodriguez, who was then a shortstop, only to see him ultimately traded to the New York Yankees, who played him at third base. What Yankees player suffered an injury playing pickup basketball, opening the door for Rodriguez to play third base?
Oh, come on.
Tino Martinez.
Oh, no.
Tino Martinez was a first baseman. He was not a third baseman. He was actually, he was right-handed in the field, so you wouldn't be wrong about that. Again, I didn't think that was that tough a question, but we have no winners this week. We might have to soften them up in weeks going forward. Is that what we have to do?
God,
because we haven't had a winner now for a couple of weeks? I mean, we've had what, Billy? How many have we had this year? Four or five people win?
Yeah, four or five win and just as many lose, I think.
Yeah, as in 1979. Yeah, when he was like 38 years old. Yeah, that's the year he won the Triple Crown. Oh, God.
Rudy Pemberton had a great 1995.
You know, it's only like the most famous season in 96. Red Sox history by a player. It's not that tough. You should be able to get that one.